It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills.
Well, that certainly was odd. And these things happen from time to time. I did not realize you could not minimize the player and have it keep playing. I didn't X out of it, just minimized it, and then there it went. Oh, well, live and learn. Well, howdy, I guess. It's about a minute past the hour. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room during the time in which this program is live. Yeah, just go to headon.live, click on chat room, and pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and you will be immediately greeted by the likes of, Anatole and Ken, and you will be capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has folded space to become Man Cave. Kind of missed the drum loop, I gotta admit. As well as being moderated by pinch hit midweek utility chat room moderator and all around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. So come on by. We're having fun discussing the humongous early voting turnout in Texas. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, wander on by. The conversation is fine. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. By the way, it is 11 year. We have 11 years and 350 days to fundamentally change the way that we live on this planet and get free of hydrocarbons, coal, oil, gas. If we are to have any hope of avoiding the disastrous effects of climate change that are, you know, already beginning. Just putting that out there. 11 years, 350 days. Okay, because we're, right, 350. So we've got that going for us. We have thanks to send out. We have thanks to send out to our subscribers. We do that at the beginning of every program. Let's see here. Thanks go out to Bernice. Thank you, Bernice. Thank you very, very kindly. And thank you very kindly to Carl over in Ohio. Those are Saturday's subscribers. Thanks also to Dr. John, and thank you very kindly to Vincent. Thanks very kindly to Dave in Talibandiana. Thanks to Brock. Thank you, Brock, and thank you very kindly to Sharon. So we also have thanks to send out to Joan in Talibandiana yesterday. And to Dave in Vermont, thank you very much indeed. And then thanks today to Earl and Felicia, formerly of Nebraska, now in California. Thank you to Jamie. Thank you very much to Ronnie. And thanks to Bill in Florida. And thanks to Michael. Thank you, Michael. Thank you very kindly. So those are our subscribers. If you would like to be one here as we prepare to enter our 16th year of online-only broadcasting, that'll begin with Fundraising Free Radio, hopefully, on Thursday. Well, just run over to headon.live and click on the PayPal link and the button there, and use the little box that says make this a recurring monthly, I forget exactly what the language is. So that's how that happens. And just so we know where we are running downhill toward finishing the month of October. We have fundraising to do today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. And then if we get it all done, we will be done with fundraising for the month of October. And we'll have fundraising free broadcasting Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week and next week. That's how much October there is left. Not much. If we can finish the fundraising goal, we will of course qualify for the Trash Fitzwalker Stand Challenge that Ralph's has been putting on the table all year long, and that's and the chance of Scott Walker being ejected from office is actually looking halfway decent. You know it's getting bad when the holes in the road are renamed not potholes but Scott holes. That's what they are in Wisconsin, Scott Holes, named after Scott Walker. So that means, and so here's tonight. We finished up about $115 short last Friday. And given that fact, over the weekend, we saw that go down by about 20. So thank you very kindly to Dave in Talibandiana. And that leaves 95 and 200 for today. So 295. And I can tell you that there is a challenge on the table courtesy of Chris in Germany. And it's most handy. So there's a $100 challenge on the table from Chris in Germany. If we can raise $100, Chris will double it. And that'll leave only the $95 to go to finish this evening's fundraising. And, gosh, it would be wonderful. Heck, if we finished off tonight, we'd have fundraising free broadcasting beginning tomorrow. So that's where the funding of independent, liberal, commercial-free radio stands as of this evening, as of this particular moment. Okay? $100 challenge on the table. And $295 this evening, and a total of $695 to finish the month. All right, good. So we're done with that part of it. Well, that's a good idea. Marty points out Scott Holes. We need to rebrand homeless encampments from Hoovervilles to Trumpvilles. Or some other clever label. Yeah. I'm checking here. Well, that's just beautiful. The White Rose stream is down. Let me get a message before... All right. Well, I've messaged Ben about that, so hopefully we'll get that sorted out sooner rather than later. Hung Like Jesus tells me Progressive Voices was down as well. That's weird. Randy, I didn't kick any cables or anything. I'm seeing it. I'm showing sending here. And if it's not coming out on the White Rose end, that's the server issue. But HeadOn.live is working fine, like HeadOn.live always does. Okay. So let's see. Yeah, I guess. Scott in San Diego, the challenge of fundraising. I'm guessing all of your Soros money for October is being diverted to funding the hordes marching toward the southern U.S. border through Mexico. Yeah, that must be what it is. Okay, thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs lets me know that somehow or another we're managing to get through. Had a start of the program note from our buddy Ron in Raleigh. These usually start with the subject line, every damn day. This one does, too. I know the feeling. Ron writes, I'm getting a little tired of the taste of dirt and the rabbits are running too fast for me. Today, the doofus-in-chief decided to pull out of another treaty. This treaty was a 30-plus-year-old INF treaty signed by St. Ronnie. The first thing you do is break the treaty, then you try to renegotiate. This is a big kiss right on the mouth-eater. To weapons manufacturers, 1,400-plus nukes isn't enough. We need more newer weapons of mass destruction. Dolt 45 is trying to rewrite Title IX to redefine sex in such a narrow way so as to make trans people non-persons. Sweet Christmas, what are people supposed to do, curl up in a ball and die? Well, if you vote Democrat, I'm sure that Julius Geezer would prefer that.
Yes, definitely curl up in a ball and die.
This past Friday, our staunch ally and the only democracy in the Middle East killed 160 Palestinians at the border wall. Add that to the over 5,500 people that have been wounded. Israeli snipers have killed or wounded 19 medical personnel while they were tending the wounded. I can't hardly stand much more of this crap. Yeah. Oh, I get it. I know. Believe you me, I'm running... I run my own fair share of rabbits, especially over the weekends, because there's just no let-up whatsoever. Got out and did some Bridge Day stuff. Agnes wasn't feeling the best, so we did not brave the 250,000 souls out on the bridge, and instead went for some Bridge Day fun after they had opened the bridge back up and the chili cook-off was going on and the bands were playing and the weather gave us a little bit of a break. It was cool, but it was not pouring rain. So that was that. Like I said, that was a break. The chili was well received. I think I'm gonna freeze some of it, because I think I've got something like maybe about a gallon left. Wound up with a lot of chili, but it's good chili. Going back to Marty's notion that we need to rebrand Hoovervilles, Steve in New York, who is putting a very brave face on right now after what happened Saturday night in West Lafayette, Indiana. Steve in New York, subject line, concentration camps for children. We'll call them Trump-centration camps. I think we're going to have to put that one to use. Oh, yes. Trump-centration camps. Very good. That's worthy. As for what Ron and Raleigh was talking about with the erasure of trans people, Jesus, I don't understand why so many Americans can't live and let live. But it is a verifiable fact that this is the kind of red meat that that Julius Caesar uses to fire up his base, you know, the maggots. And it, just in case you're wondering, after all, hey, let's do this right. It's Moran Monday on the horn. Yeah.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up. You will not believe your ears. It's Moran Monday on the horn. Here, here, yes, right here, behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas, you will find them all. We got them all. We curate them all. We collect them all. Every last form, every last variety. That's right, friends and neighbors, aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters, moms and dads, kiddies and cousins. We've got them. Birchers, deathers, booger eaters, libertarians, maggots, deathers, tenthers. Every kind of right, Republicans all, every kind of right-wing monstrosity available in this country. Proud booger eaters, even, I guess. Yes, indeed, yes, indeed. For less than something on the order of a 20th of the cost of a cup of coffee at a local coffee establishment, you too can enter the Moran Monday tent and keep the tent open and functioning. Each and every Monday and each and every broadcast evening, that's right, a $10 a month subscriber it shells out less than a 20th of the cost of a cup of coffee in helping to keep all of this going. Mm-hmm, yep. So why throw your money away over on the Carnival Midway, friends and neighbors, throwing ping pong balls at goldfish bowls in a fruitless attempt to take home a little baby lizard? When you can help keep progressive liberal broadcasting on the air. Yes, indeed. Moran Monday on the horn. You can't tell the Morans without a program, and this is the program that tells the Morans. You just can't tell them much. No, you can't. Warnings always go out for people entering the Moran Monday tent. Keep a close hand on children, small animals, pets. Yes, even that lizard that you won throwing ping pong balls at goldfish bowls. Keep an eye on them. Keep a hand on wallets and jewelry and purses and European-style messenger bags, because being right-wing morons, they can get grabby. Head for the hills or you'll be up to your armpits in morons. Oh, yes, you will. I just wanted to make sure that we got that off to a proper start. Because we got some serious moranity with which to deal. And just a reminder, I mention this from time to time, but when one of these right-wing diseases strikes in the United States, for some reason or another, the disease vector goes immediately it vectors immediately to two places, Canada and Australia. Well, the right-wing, white-wing bathroom obsession has found its way to Oz. And more's the pity. Apparently, it's not okay for lesbians who go bowling in Australia and perhaps drink a beer then need to use the ladies' room. According to a story published in Gay Star News, a lesbian couple Gay Star News uses a queer couple's date night ended horribly. Because the couple, one of them went to the ladies' restroom. The name of the business was Strike Bowling. I know, clever, huh? They left the kids at home and went out for a little bit of bowling. They'd been bowling for a couple of hours, and they right before they left, they were headed to the ladies' room, and that's when the gender security police showed up. And, well, on the way back to the restroom, or on the way back from the restroom, the security guard stopped her and said, "I'm going to have to ask you to leave the premises right now. If you don't leave the premises, I'll remove you by force." And then called for a second security guard. No kidding. For going to the restroom. And when the second guard showed up, she put out her hand and said, "Hello, my name's Charlotte." And that's when that's when Heckle and Jekyll, the two security guards, looked at each other, you know, like a cow looking at a new gate, you know, sort of head tilted, you know, what? Then the manager came along and apologized and forced the security guards to apologize. "Ah, we're terribly, humbly sorry. We've caught a right-wing disease from the United States." Is there a happy ending to this? Well, Fun Lab, who runs the bowling alley under the name Strike, has contacted the couple and told them it won't happen again, and they're making changes to make sure that it won't happen again. And so maybe... maybe that's a step forward. Yeah. All right. So, more N1. Well, I don't know. Maybe Robert in Australia can help us with that. Randy. Randy in PA says, "Wasn't there an Aussie song about that? Oh dear, what can the matter be? Young lady stuck in the lavatory." You want to help, Robert? You want to be the Australian office of the ad hoc research department this evening? Yeah. But it's More End Monday, and that seemed a fitting place to begin. Although God knows it'll be a long and twisted journey this evening, I have a feeling. I mean, my God, far be it from me, and God knows we've documented it over the years, the disastrous downward spiral of the United States since the arrival of Ronald Wilson Reagan, old 666 himself, in the Oval Office. Ronald Ketchup is a vegetable, Reagan. Yeah. But I give credit where credit's due. The Intermediate Range Nuclear Missile Treaty – was carefully negotiated, and it was ratified by the Senate, which meant Democrats and Republicans alike. It became the law of the land, commensurate with a constitutional provision, carrying that much weight and force. And so now, Geezer Disgustus says,
yeah, we're going to back out of that too. And elect treaties that I haven't negotiated.
So, hey, we get to all worry about, you know, being, as if climate change wasn't enough, you know, that whole 11 years and 350 days business. If that wasn't enough, now we get to move back into the existential threat that was nuclear annihilation, nuclear winter. And
hey, wait a minute. That's what it is. We'll use the nuclear winter to offset the climate change warming, and then everything will be balanced. I'm a very stable genius. I have great genes and a good brain. See?
I hate even having to think that way, but welcome to, you know, welcome to our world since January the 20th, 2017. By the way, Julius Geezer has declared that, and I wish I was kidding, I am not. Julius Geezer says that people can't remember. No, this is a real thing. Speaking earlier today, he said, I think there's, talking about the election, I think there's tremendous spirit, maybe like I've never seen other than in 2016. You don't remember 2016, you're too young. No, really. That's not a joke. You don't remember 2016. You're too young. It took a few years before we hipped to the fact that that Ronald Reagan's brains were rapidly turning to a sort of thin soup between his ears. We knew it with Donald Trump going in. We were suspicious of Reagan. Donald Trump, no, he confirms it every time he opens his mouth. The man is either profoundly mentally ill, or is made mentally ill by some organic process, whether it be atherosclerosis or Alzheimer's or spirochetes. All the possibilities are out there. Well, that's true, too. In the case of the story of the disease, the America disease metastasizing to Australia, Brother Deacon Asa says, the Aussie bathroom story is a brisk walk in the park, Bob. The penalty for micturating while gay would have been a good old-fashioned head-lopping if that took place in the area ruled by the House of Ibn Saud. All too true. Obligatory Star Trek parody coming from Lee in New York. These are the ramblings of the starship Trump. Its mission, to grab wealth, to insult randomly, to deny truths that no one has ever been able to deny before. This is Trump Trek. No, stop that, Bob. That's just about enough of that. So I had no idea that that treaties entered into and ratified by the Senate, that we could just say, nah, fuck it, we're tired of it. And even the Chinese, the Chinese have said, oh, you know, y'all probably want to rethink that. Meanwhile, the rumor has it that sweet, cuddly, huggable, lovable, big bad Vladdy Daddy Pooty Poot has been walking around with his hand down his pants ever since the announcement was made. This is my missile. This is my gun. One is for intercontinental range shooting, the other for fun. Meanwhile, Ted Cruz, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, other people are catching on to it now. Just today, I saw a story mentioning that Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American for a very long time, had anointed the waxen one as, what is it, anointed by God to bring about the end time transfer of wealth. Yeah, I guess, but wow. Even as Julius Geezer headed off to Houston for a venue that barely holds 8,000 people, in order to do an alleged campaign rally for Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America. He was asked on the way there, do you regret implying that Ted Cruz's dad killed JFK? To which Marcus Aurelius responded,
I don't regret anything, honestly. It all worked out very nicely.
Okay. So, Moran in chief, sure. But I had something dawn on me over the weekend. And I'm not in charge of these realizations. They come unbidden. But I saw a picture of Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, standing with his wife Heidi and their two little girls. And I realized something. These right-wing religion industry types are constantly having visions and God's telling them things. I think I finally understand how that works. Because it happened to me. I was gifted some gift with a vision. Because when I saw that picture of Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, standing with his wife Heidi, who is a reasonably attractive, fairly normal-looking white American woman, and his reasonably normal-looking children, an image just inside my brain, and I realized something. It was like a vision. Oh God, yucky! Of the conception of those two children. And I knew in a moment that they had been conceived either in a dark room level of darkness, absolute darkness, or doggy style, or probably both. Because there is no way that any human being Now, and I would even suggest that perhaps the amorphous, multi-limbed aliens of Norblap 9 couldn't do it either. But there's no way to have set, well, there's no way to be looking at Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed, booger-eaten future king of America, and fuck at the same time. Have you ever tried to vomit and be having sex at the same instant? Yeah. So, since I had to suffer with it, I have to share it with you because, well, all we got in common is our misery, and the least we can do is share it. But no, Julius Geezer doesn't regret saying that about Heidi or the business about the Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American for a really long time. No, he has no regrets. You know why he has no regrets? Because he's a narcissistic sociopath. And narcissistic sociopaths don't do regret. Makes sense to me. Brother Deacon Asa asks, anyone heard the new Ted Cruz election slogan yet? Why elect a carpetbagger from the North when you can elect one from the Great White North? The Cubanadian. Yes, the Cubanadian. Well, I'm sorry, Darlene. I just, you know, these, like I said, these things occur unbidden, and I wouldn't want to waste a perfectly good religious vision by not sharing it. Subject line, ew. 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 From Darlene, where your mind goes, Bob, is beyond me. No, it isn't, Darlene. I just told you exactly. Oh, every photo. No, it's terrible. Every photo now. Every photo of Ted Cruz. And you can almost hear that. You're my sister. You're my sister. You're my sister. Jesus, that. Subject line, Cruz and sex. Lee in New York says, I never expected to send an email with that subject line. All Heidi has to do is close her eyes and think, Brad Pitt. Nah, because I'm pretty sure Rafaelito's a talker. Oh. That's just, ooh. Whew, full body shudder. Ugh. But again, I say, ugh. But one hopes this is an indication of good things to come. Early voting across the country is shattering records, despite the fact that Julius Geezer issued tweeted an attempt at voter suppression earlier this weekend. All levels of government and law enforcement are watching carefully for voter fraud, all caps, including during early voting, all caps. Cheat at your own peril. Violators will be subject to maximum penalties, both civil and criminal. Yeah. Well, it apparently didn't have much of an effect. Speaking to the Hill publication, Michael McDonald, who is a political scientist at the University of Florida, said, all signs point to a higher turnout election. Where we can make comparisons, so far the numbers are up from 2014, which is not a surprise because 2014 was an exceptionally low turnout election. In Florida alone, 800,000 Floridians have voted in competitive races for governor and a U.S. Senate seat. Nearly 500,000 Californians have already voted. More than 200,000 people have gotten out early in Tennessee and Arizona. More than 100,000 ballots were submitted in Illinois, Iowa, Michigan, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. Yeah. You have to hope. Because that's what you got. That those are Democratic votes. And that they will. And because I go back to what I said earlier. You're going to have a massive, monumental, historic, unheard of turnout in order to turn out these fascist white wing maggot thugs in the House and Senate who have worked so hard to make sure that it is near impossible to get rid of them. Some democracy, huh? But there, you know, the last thing I saw said that Andrew Gillum is up by 1 point. If we're going to talk, you know, horse race stuff. Andrew Gillum is up by 1 point over Ron Monkey Up DeSantis. 1 point, which is well within the margin of error, separates Andrew Gillum from Ron DeSantis. 1 point. But he does, Andrew Gillum whatever else. He knows how to provide an inspiring moment. He offered up a closing statement in his debate with Ron Monkey Up DeSantis. I'm sorry if I seem a little uneven here this evening. It always screws with me when I have technical problems. And don't necessarily know why. Damn. Yeah, the whole thing just went down. Well, Houston, we had a problem, and we probably still do, but the thing is back up, at least for the moment. It's 3 minutes past the hour. This is the horn for Moran Monday, the 22nd day of October 2018. And so since I'm back and we're back together again, I'll take this moment to note that there's a $100 challenge on the table and $295 to raise this evening. The challenge is courtesy of Chris in Germany, and hopefully, people will respond to that challenge, if the community's still here, that is. That's the situation here. We got $295 to raise, a $100 challenge on the table, and hopefully a couple of hours of program left that will actually amount to something. Thank you, Robert in Australia. Back on in Oz, Jack in Shreveport. You're back on HeadOn.live. Thank you. And, thank you, Lauren. That'll come in handy. I was in hold hell waiting for Frontier Tech support. But as soon as the thing came back up, I disconnected, which means God only knows when I'll Jesus Christ. Yeah. Okay, so that's good. It really is distracting when this kind of thing happens, but what I was saying earlier, when the crash came, good old Frontier. Was that in the midst of all the moranity, that it's nice. It's nice when you can actually hear someone doing politics and doing and actually trying to engage in some decency in the course of a political campaign. And I had thought this was a particularly good example of it. If I can get the audio to load. Never a dull moment. The setup, having been at the when we lost the internet connection, I don't know how much was even heard, because sometimes I don't see the thing crash because it's out of the corner of my eye. But Andrew Gillum's debate with Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis and his closing argument therein was a really. Well, in the era of Trump, it was a shocking manifestation of decency. Oh, come on, not you two. I really wanted to run this because it's a damn decent, it's an inspiring little clip. It's basically Andrew Gillum's summation for the whole raison d'etre for his candidacy.
Because my mother and father would have to get up so early in the morning to go to work, they would load us all into a car, drive us over to my grandmother's house, where she would have a ritual and do two things before she'd let us cross the threshold of the door. She'd take her bottle of olive oil, also known as blessing oil, and build a cross on my forehead as a way to send us out into the day with a blessing and a covering. And then she would have this mantra where she'd say, go to school, mind your teachers, get your lesson, and one day bring that education home. She'd say, bring it home for your mama, for your daddy, who get out there and work on somebody else's job. Bring it home for your little brother and your little sister. What my grandmother was communicating to me was that it wasn't just about me. It's about all of us. And in Trump's America, we've been led to believe that we've got to step on our neighbor's shoulder and their face and their backs in order to get ahead. Well, I reject that. And we have an opportunity on November 6th as a collective, as a state, to say we deserve better. We want better. We want better schools, access to health care, a clean economy, a restorative justice system that works where hand in glove, the community and law enforcement work together for all of our benefit. I'm asking you all for the only thing in life that my mother ever told me to ask for, and that's a chance. I want to be your governor. Let's bring it home.
Kind of, I don't know about you, but that I find that deeply inspiring. It gave me chills. Ask you for the only thing in life that my mother ever told me to ask for, and that's a chance. And that's what that's the question that faces the entire country. Will we have a chance? Yeah. But there's going to have to be humongous turnout. There really is. I saw an estimation for West Virginia here that, well, frankly, I'm inclined to believe. It suggests that turnout in West Virginia will be somewhere around 42.7%. I hope that that marks West Virginia as an atypically low voting state. Maybe West Virginia is maybe that 42.7%. What would that represent? Maggots who are satisfied and staying home. Disaffected maggots who realize that everything having to do with Trump's the cheerleading of coal have turned out to be cynical and cruel lies. I guess 400 coal miners at an underground coal operation got their notices that they weren't going to have jobs anymore. And not sure, Bluestone Coal, I think it is. And unless I'm mistaken, that may very well be a coal company that's owned by West Virginia governor and Trump suck buddy Jim Justice. You know, whenever Julius Geezer comes to West Virginia, when he opens his mouth and yawns, you can see the smiling face of Jim Justice, who has done everything in his power to get his nose all the way up Donald Trump's fundament to his ankles. Justice's ankles, swollen ankles. 42.7%. Of course, to be fair, if you are in a county like I'm in, there's not a lot to get excited about. You can feel a certain, I guess you can feel a certain amount of desperation relating to maybe keeping Joe Manchin in his seat and not having Joe Manchin replaced by an opioid pill pusher. But there's not even much down ballot. I'd really like to see Richard Jetta defeat Carol Miller, and people are working hand over fist trying to make that happen. But down on the legislative race, fossil. At least in this county, we got fossils. I think we've got one out of three members of the House who might be under 40. And then we've got a couple of people probably pushing 80. Or at least, well, at least near 70. Well, at least one near 80 and one near 70, if not over. Hard to get excited about that. because it means that because they're the same old apparatchiks that have been around and around and around and around and keep losing and losing and losing and losing. Meh. So please, America, don't be like West Virginia. No 42.7%, please. Thank you very kindly to Charlene. Charlene got us started this evening. Now Charlene needs a little bit of company. We've got $75 to raise on Chris's challenge, and that would leave us with only $95 to go to finish the evening. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you very kindly. Okay, so, Morans. It's Moran Monday. As if I didn't know based on the... Yeah. So, let's go to, Pennsylvania, Bamistan. In other words, Pennsylvania. Up there, a guy named Scott Wagner is running for governor of Pennsylvania on the Republican ticket. And this is great. This is 200 proof top shelf restaurant quality Moran. Oh yes. Scott Wagner. Used to be a state senator in Pennsylvania. If Arnold is still listening, Arnold is probably swearing now. That idiot! Yeah. he is a Republican gubernatorial candidate. It just stands to reason that he would be giving an address to, say, some oil and gas lobby association. Oh, yes. So when you're giving it some sort of a keynote address to a group of fossil fools, you don't want to be talking about those 11 years and 350 days or anything. Oh, no. No, no, no. This is just breathtakingly moron. An NPR affiliate in Pennsylvania called State Impact quoted Scott Wagner as follows. Get the hockey puck. No, really, get the hockey puck. He claimed it wasn't a campaign event, but still, well, Pennsylvania is the Wild West in terms of fracking. And yet the oil and gas industry still feels like it's overregulated. Mm-hmm. And although he supposedly wasn't campaigning, he did say, there's a huge difference between an active environmentalist and an environmental activist. He came up with that line and is apparently proud of it. I love the outdoors. I grew up around the outdoors. I love fishing. I am in favor of drilling on state lands. Then you're not in favor of fish. Because fish can't live in frack fluid. PA, among other, will make this year about $80 million in royalties from drilling in the state's forests. You know, state forests owned by the people of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And he's moved into that territory that is beloved of Republicans these days, where he feels like he has to say, well, you know, the climate may be changing. I'm not a scientist, but, right? Yeah. And they then, just as Julius Geezer did, they'll say something like, yeah, but human beings might not be causing it. Again, in the IPCC report released 2 weeks and one day ago, they made clear that human beings are responsible for every last bit of warming on this planet since 1850, the beginning of the fossil fuel burning mania that gripped the planet. He really doesn't think we have to worry too much about, you know, things like emissions. And that's when he said this. I hope you've had time to get the hockey puck. Because this is for the ages. I haven't been in science class in a long time. But the Earth moves closer to the sun every year. You know, the rotation of the Earth. We're moving closer to the sun. We have more people. You know, humans have warm bodies. So is heat coming off? Things are changing. But I think we are, as a society, doing the best we can. So doing nothing at all and pulling out of the climate, Paris Climate Accords, is the best we can. It's certainly the best that Donald Trump can, and the best that Republicans can. Sure. The rotation of the Earth moves the planet closer to the sun every year. Hey, Ron and Raleigh, I'll race you to the back door, man. We'll eat dirt and run rabbits together. I hung like Jesus. I'm sorry, my friend. I'm not kidding you. This is real. This isn't The Onion. Holy, and humans have warm bodies. We're not reptiles. We're not the sentient worms of Norblap 12. Big star system Norblap. You know, the Earth not only rotates on its axis, it revolves around the sun. The Earth, and I remember, it's been a while since I've been in a science class, too. But Mrs. Metcalf, back in seventh grade, made it very clear that rotation and revolution are not the same thing. The Earth does the rotation thing kind of on its own, but the revolution is what happens around the sun. You know this, I know this, Scott Wagner does not know this. What an idiot. So, sometimes when people hear morons saying moron things, well, the people that hear the morons saying the moron things can't stand it. It's almost physically painful. It creates a certain cerebral agony. And that's apparently what happened to a young woman by the name of Rose Strauss, a student, a teenager. She couldn't, in her young mind, abide being told that the output of human body heat was causing climate change. You know, burning fossil fuels doesn't cause climate change. Human body heat causes climate change. You can understand how this would make a young woman a little bit frustrated. Now, who's Scott Wagner? Remember, this is the same guy earlier in this month who said that he would stomp his gubernatorial opponent's face with golf spikes. Yeah, that guy. Anybody else eating dirt and running rabbits yet? So Rose Strauss spoke out to this maggot moron.
You're a little young and naive.
And that's what he said. You're a little young and naive. When he said that, when Rose Strauss said that human body heat causes climate change. And then
Hi.
He went.
How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm great.
Awesome. My name is Rose. I'm 18, and I'm really concerned about the future of our country. 2/3 of Pennsylvanians think that climate change is an issue that needs to be addressed. But you have said that climate change is a result of people's body heat and are refusing to take action on the issue. Does this have anything to do with the $200,000 that you have taken from the fossil fuel industry?
Rose, you know what? I appreciate you being here, and you're 18 years old. You know, you're a little young and naive. But let's talk about something else. This is Rose, and I appreciate you being here. But here's the. Are we here to elect a governor, or are we here to elect a scientist? Okay, I'm here to be the governor.
You can find the clip over at Now This. Are we here to elect a governor, or are we here to elect a scientist? Well, hopefully, elect a governor who pays attention to science and doesn't think that his trundling bulk and the heat that he personally gives off is contributing to climate change. I mean, can we find some common ground there? I mean, yes, I understand hung like Jesus. Hung like Jesus says, if I were that stupid, I'd keep my mouth closed. But did you hear, once again, it's that moment that I find myself fascinated and disgusted equally at one and the same time by the maggot says a stupid thing. The maggot gets challenged on it, for instance, with the $200,000 that he's taken from the oil and gas industry, and maybe some coal money, too. Who knows? And he responds by belittling her and telling her she's young and naive for acknowledging science. And makes fun of her. And then the maggots in the audience hoot and clap and laugh along with him. Yeah. Because the fact of the matter is, he has taken more than $200,000 from the oil and gas industry. And he really did suggest that the Earth is moving closer to the sun, and that that's what's causing climate change. Hoo-wee! Like I said, top shelf, 200 proof, restaurant quality, Moran. If somebody walked into some Hollywood office with a script that has some right winger saying that, they'd throw him out on his ear and he'd never write another word in Hollywood again, or she. And of course, they just loved what Scott Wagner said, because that was a natural gas an event for people who want to frack the frack out of Pennsylvania and who needs clean water. Exactly. Like I said earlier, the American disease metastasizes and vectors eagerly and easily to Australia. Robert in Australia wrote, Wentworth by-election. As a result of the leadership spill in which Malcolm Turnbull lost the job of Prime Minister and his resignation, a by-election was held in the seat of Wentworth last Saturday. The seat of Wentworth is a blue-ribbon Liberal stronghold. Liberal, of course, I'll remind you, means conservative in Australia, because it's upside down. And has been for decades, at least until last Saturday. Wentworth was won by an independent. The Liberal federal government is now a minority government. I think the Australian people are just getting a little fed up with governments that spend all their time infighting, looking after their mates, and not running the country. One hopes. I don't know. Does the blue wave move in the same direction in Australia? Yeah. Just funny. A little bit of astronomy facting, Lee in New York points out, subject line perihelion. The closest the Earth will be to the sun in the next year, Thursday, January 3rd, 2019, at 12:19 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 91,401,983 miles. When we call it the U.S. of A., winter. Winter. That's perihelion. James in Illinois points out, though, eventually the sun, our star, will eventually burn itself out regardless of what we do. What's a billion or so years, give or take? Party on, Wayne. Party on, Garth. Party on, dude. Be excellent to each other. Right? And then, while we're at it, there's Tennessee. In Tennessee, in their state legislature, State Representative John Ray Clemens offered up a resolution. Here's the resolution that he offered up. White nationalism and neo-Nazism are continuing to grow as menaces to societal order that seek to reignite social animosities, reverse improvements in race relations, divide the nation, and foment hatred, classism, anti-Semitism, and ethnic eradication. Okay? It went on to say, we strongly denounce and oppose the totalitarian impulses, violent terrorism, xenophobic biases, and bigoted ideologies that are promoted by white nationalists and neo-Nazis. Anybody got a problem with any of that language? Anybody? Bueller? Well, you may not, but you may rest assured that the other members of the Tennessee House State Government Subcommittee did. Mm-hmm. State Representative John Ray Clemens sponsored the resolution in that subcommittee. And he could not get, and of course, being a Democrat, John Ray Clemens is in the minority, and he could not get even one Republican vote in committee for it. Not one. Again, we strongly denounce and oppose the totalitarian impulses, violent terrorism, xenophobic biases, and bigoted ideologies that are promoted by the white nationalists and neo-Nazis. Just a general reminder. That was 7 months ago. 7 months ago, people in Tennessee, one lone legislator in Tennessee, could not get Republicans to denounce Nazis. Not one Republican. How much more do we need to know about the Republican Party? Do we understand a little bit better why people like Ron DeSantis in Florida use racist dog whistles, or why a Republican legislature in North Dakota tries to suppress thousands of Native American votes? Or how about a little something from Kansas City? The Republican Party of Missouri sent out 10,000 letters with a big red banner on it. It's a card, like your mailbox gets filled up with this time of year. And the notices said that absentee ballots were due on a date when they weren't due. Ray Bozarth, the executive director of the Missouri GOP, said that incorrect information was printed on postcards because of a miscommunication between the party and its vendor. On the card, it says, "Urgent Notice," in all capital letters, and says, "Return your mail-in ballots today. Ballots must be returned by 5 p.m. Tuesday, October 30th. That ain't true. Requests for mail-in ballots are even available until October 31st in Missouri. According to Bozarth, cards were sent to likely Republican voters as part of the GOP Get Out the Vote efforts, otherwise known as Keep the Votes Home. And soon they'll send out corrected mailers. The damage will already have been done, though. The bell will not be unrung. Funny how they can't win without cheating. Oh, and a little bit of fallout along the way. Continuing fallout. You remember last week the ad that ran in Arkansas, St. Louis, basically Little Rock, St. Louis, and Kansas City. The racist ad in favor of in the Arkansas case, a white winged maggot by the name of French Hill. Well, the group behind the ad is run by, as we discussed, a guy named Vernon Robinson, who is known, his unofficial nickname is the Black Jesse Helms. Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out that West Virginia has a member of the House of Delegates, a Republican, an African-American woman, by the name of Jill Upson. She's from Jefferson County, West Virginia. That's over in the Eastern Panhandle. And she serves as national chairwoman for Black Americans for the President's Agenda. Those Black Americans for the President's Agenda would apparently be her and Vernon Robinson, both of them. Black Americans for the President's Agenda, however, is largely funded by billionaires like Charles Johnson, who owns the San Francisco Giants and needs to not own the San Francisco Giants anymore. Well, somebody, an enterprising reporter named Jake Zuckerman at the Charleston Gazette, figured this all out and reached out to Delegate Jill Upson, who said she doesn't support the coarse language. The coarse language that was used in that ad. And then she ran over to Facebook and said, I strongly disapprove of the ad's language and had absolutely nothing to do with its creation or production. Upon listening to the ad last night, I contacted the organization's founder, that'd be Vernon Robinson, and demanded that it be removed from the air and no longer played. As a result of my request, the ad was taken down and will no longer appear on the airwaves. It appears to reference the ad that's running in Arkansas. No word in this story on the similar ad that's running in that ran in St. Louis and Kansas City. Isn't that convenient? Now, she's the, national chairwoman for Black Americans for the President's Agenda. The national chairwoman. And yet, somehow or another, Vernon Robinson didn't see fit to tell the national chairwoman for Black Americans for the President's Agenda, about an ad that was going out in which the characters say things like, girl, white Democrats will be lynching black folk again. Honey, I've always told my son, don't be messing around with that. If you get caught, she will cry rape. Don't be messing around with that. The usage of the word that is an objectification of women. That. If you get caught, she'll cry rape. We can't afford to let white Democrats take us back to bad old days of race verdicts, life sentences, and lynchings when a white girl screams rape. Vernon Robinson, in order to create some plausible deniability, said that Delegate Upson's role does not involve her reviewing ads before they're published or signing off on any of them. By the way, Vernon Robinson posted the ad on his SoundCloud account. He titled it Emmett Till. And somehow or another managed not to be able to spell Emmett. Yeah. Hung Like Jesus notes that in addition to being a national chairwoman of Black Americans for the President's Agenda, she is also the president for Unicorn Jockeys of America. Leprechaun Hunters of America. Yeah, I remember that. Ron and Raleigh says, I heard of her about 1.5 months ago. Oh, no, I heard of her on 1A months ago. She is one delusional black woman. I'm almost afraid to go and find the recording. But the bottom line is that she needs to not be a member of the legislature from Jefferson County anymore. But Jefferson County may be chock-a-block with maggots, and as an African-American woman who is also a maggot, that lends her considerable visibility. In other words, it helps. It does not hurt. And now she's got the plausible, like I said, plausible deniability to say, well, I had no idea about any of that. That's got such coarse language. Yes. Mm-hmm. So, Jesus. Tough day not to have the rot gut tequila bottle here. Still got the swirly straw, but still. Just can't do that anymore. But Lord. Morons everywhere. Oh, and by the way, in case you were wondering, those folks at Energy Transfer Partners, the people who brought you the Keystone XL and various other nightmarish hellscape hydrocarbon pipelines that are continuing to 11 years and 350 days, right? Yeah. They're still building pipelines. Well, guess what? A week ago today, a so-called security team from Energy Transfer Partners went after protesters who don't want the Bayou Bridge pipeline built in Louisiana. So some water protectors went out. About 15 water protectors. They went out in boats, and Energy Transfer Partners' security team then went by and deliberately swamped the boats and sunk them. The people did manage to get out of the river, out of the water, swam to shore. And were assisted by a local fisherman who helped keep them from drowning. Energy Transfer Partners arguably committed attempted murder. What they were doing, the water protectors were doing was completely legal. They were observing the construction site. And at that construction site, Energy Transfer Partners is getting ready to drill under the waterway. And Energy Transfer Partners, meanwhile, continues to try to litigate people trying to protect their water into submission. Greenpeace, on the other hand, reports on the fact that various state government, state and local governments are trying to make it impossible to protest these things. First Amendment? What First Amendment? While various bills have been introduced to try to protect the delicate feelings of the pipeline companies, and those bills have received vigorous support, not a single bill has been introduced to protect the rights of anyone who stands up against them, or even acknowledge that they have rights. Bills in Louisiana, Pennsylvania, Minnesota. They make it a crime to conspire to protest, for instance, when a protest would require trespass or any other form of civil disobedience. Just planning the protest would become a crime then. Over at the Climate Defense Project, Alice Cherry, the co-founder and staff attorney, says, I think these bills represent an escalation. And I think she's right. Meanwhile, the CEO of Energy Transfer Partners has said that protests against these filthy, nightmarish pipelines tarnish company image. Kelsey Warren has also said that anybody who vandalized the Dakota Access Pipeline should be, and this is a quote, removed from the gene pool. That's another word for murder. That sounds like the kind of language that maybe Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman might have used in regard to Jamal Khashoggi. Hey, send 15 guys up there to Istanbul and remove Jamal Khashoggi from the gene pool. Like that, yeah. Hung Like Jesus tells me, hey, Bob, 482,435 early voters here in Georgia, three times as many as the last midterm. God, I hope it's enough to swamp that, well, that dirty Secretary of State there. Nice folks, those Energy Transfer Partners, huh? Meanwhile, remember, the Earth is getting warmer because we're getting closer to the sun. Well, I'll tell you what, it sure doesn't feel like we're getting any closer to the sun outside. We're coming up on heating season, and it gives me the creeps. So here at about 8 minutes before the hour, Charlene, who says, I'm still here, Bob. Thank you, Charlene. Charlene's still hoping for some company to help knock out Chris in Germany's challenge. We got $75 to go on that challenge and another $95 to go after that. So please don't leave a challenge laying on the table. You wouldn't, that's about, you know, that's eight people at $10. And, you know, if we started tonight and we got one new subscriber every night, well, by this time next year when we'll be celebrating, hopefully, the Horn's 16th anniversary, well, by Jove, we wouldn't be talking about fundraising anymore. One new subscriber per evening. Larry in Liberalville with a note, subject line, Pennsylvania race. It sounds like Scott Wagner's a fracking idiot. Yes. Why do people with no science background say, I'm no scientist, as if it were a badge of honor? Then they speak and prove that they're science idiots, which is a black mark on STEM efforts, you know, science, technology, engineering, and math. Also, I may be getting a little paranoid, but I find it suspicious that the refugees from Honduras are arriving just as the U.S. is holding elections. Has some impetus been provided by conservative cohorts in Central American countries? Are political conflicts becoming more severe in that part of the Americas? Paranoid liberals want to know. And here's an answer, courtesy of my good friend Dave Nywert, sent along by David in South Carolina. Frankly, the fact that this caravan was organized to arrive at the border just before the election does indeed strike me as suspicious, but not the way the right-wingers seem to imagine it, mainly as a George Soros plot. The fallout from this kind of debate always favors right-wingers electorally. For what it's worth, one of my sources on the border involved in the Samaritan work has talked to caravan participants, and he raised this with me a week ago. He said at least some of the participants were actively recruited from peaceful and secure villages by men who told them that the United States had opened their borders to everyone and actually brought a bus to drive people northward. This has a stink about it, frankly, and it has nothing to do with Soros or pro-immigrant refugee activism. It reeks of classic right-wing rat-fucking. It meshes too neatly with their violent left narrative. Update, for what it's worth, I'm not claiming that this is what's actually happening. A single anecdote is just that, but it, along with the timing of the narrative, raises all kinds of red flags for me. I hope that journalists covering this on the border start asking questions in a thorough fashion with an appropriate dose of skepticism. That jibes with my sense of paranoia. It's all just a little too convenient, isn't it? Yeah. By the way, anybody want to tell me about those riots in California? You've heard this, right? I mean, we know he lies.
The legendary Maxine Waters. A low IQ individual. Jackie votes against the people of Nevada every chance she gets. She voted no on tax cuts. No on better health care. No on border security. And Jackie voted in favor of deadly sanctuary cities. I don't think we like sanctuary cities up here. By the way, a lot of people in California don't want them either. They're rioting now. They want to get out of their sanctuary cities. You know, there's a big turn being made, folks. A lot of these sanctuary cities you've been hearing about in California and other places, but California, they want to get out. They're demanding they be released from sanctuary cities. Jackie also joined the Democrat assault on Justice Brett Kavanaugh. And don't forget that when you vote, well, that's why I want you to vote today, because you definitely won't forget. But don't forget, and we stuck with Justice Kavanaugh because he was
rioting in California. You know, we have to stop letting Donald Trump watch old movies. I think he must have seen Escape from Los Angeles and thought it was a documentary. Well, let me check. Hey, Scott, have you been to the riots lately?
Well, wait a minute. Let me walk to the door and put my head out and just to. Okay, do you hear anything?
That's a mighty, that, wait, that was a band, wasn't it? Quiet Riot.
I don't, let me put it this way. If they're happening, the riots must be in a different sector of the state. Because it's so quiet here, you can hear these palm trees growing ever so slightly. Nothing. I don't even Spunky, the sparrow, has not shown.
Well, I think you are in the wrong neck of the woods. Apparently, the rioting, or at least the rioting that exists only in Donald Trump's hollowed out remnant of a brain, the rioting is taking place in Orange County.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a little piece up the road. But then again, people say. Trump's mantra?
Yeah, some people say. Right.
I read. My ass. Jesus. You know what I'd like to see, among other things?
Do tell.
Earlier you were talking about the guy who was chastising the 18-year-old young woman. Was that Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
And he's talking about, was he the one that, it's hard to keep him straight. You're right, without a program, you cannot tell one moron from another after a while. But wasn't he the one that said the body heat of all 7.5 billion of us?
Yes, that's the same guy.
I would like to see the Venn diagram to see the intersection in terms of numbers between climate change deniers and flat earthers. Because you got to figure there's some intersection. You know, because if they're dumb enough to believe one, they're probably going to be dumb enough to believe that the earth is flat. And flat earth probably plays into absolutely explainable non-human so-called reasons for planetary warming, because a flat surface will warm more readily than a round surface that's rotating. And is my science right on that?
You know, it's been a long time since I've been in a flat earth science class, so I'm not entirely sure.
Well, somebody needs to do some pull out the old slide rule and work it out mathematically. Not that that would change their otherwise empty minds. But Jesus, come on. I don't know. There's more of us than there are of them. We're not, equally distributed in all 50 of our grand and glorious states. But I would like to think if we can get the type of turnout in November that you've been talking is necessary or will be necessary, we could beat them with one lobe of our brain tied behind our backs. You know, simply by showing up and taking a few minutes, as I did last night, to vote. I mean, the ballot arrived about a week ago, 10 days ago, whatever. And last night I said, well, tonight will be the night. Tonight will be the night where I'll fill it out and get it all ready, so that I can either hand deliver it tomorrow or Tuesday or mail it, okay? Well, first of all, I don't know, did you vote on paper or do you have machines in West Virginia?
For the first time ever in the primary, I went in and I had no choice but to vote on a video game.
Mm.
So I have no way of knowing if I voted or not.
Yeah. Well, we have paper ballots out here, I guess, for as long as I've been. No, I think the first year, 2000, it was those punch, what he calls with the Chad?
Yeah, yeah.
The punch card ballots. And then ever since the wake of the mess in Florida in 2000, as far as I know, we've switched over to a purely paper, fill-in-the-bubble sort of ballot out here. But Jesus, the ballot this time around is 2 pages. But when I say 2 pages, I mean 4 sides. And normally I get hung up on the propositions. I think we had A through J. So how many is that? That's 10, close to it, propositions. So those were interesting. But I was pretty well set on which way to go on those. normally it's the propositions that slow me up, but this time it was the judicial questions about judges and justices, and the questions about who do you want to be on the various regional community college advisory boards or whatever they're called. And I was fortunate that I found a website whose political outlook is very close to mine, and they gave endorsements or non-endorsements for the various judges. So that was, and also another website had endorsements and non-endorsements for the people to staff the various community college boards and things like that. So that was helpful. And instead of taking, instead of taking 2.5 days, I finished it just over an hour it took. But I feel good having done it, and I'm gonna. About a week ago, I was waiting for the bus, and on the bench around the corner here was some junk mail, flyers, you know, advertisements and stuff, and somebody's ballot. So I'm going to go up to the registrar tomorrow and drop my ballot off and turn that ballot in. It was unopened, and hopefully they can get it to the proper person in time enough, you know, for the election on November 6th. But I always feel good when I vote. I feel like, you know, it's worth it. It's not like an exercise in futility as it is in some parts of the country. How do they campaign in West Virginia? I would think that canvassing door to door outside of the cities is powerful, tough.
It's very difficult. Door to door is very difficult. Outside Charleston, Beckley, Parkersburg, Wheeling, Huntington.
Yeah. So, what is their fallback? TV and radio?
And a shitload of direct mail.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been trying for a while now to figure out some use for them because they're, you know, these big 8x10 cards or whatever. Let's see, this one showed up the other day. A message from President Donald Trump.
If you vote for Joe Manchin, you're voting for the party that wants to really destroy the coal industry. Joe endorsed Hillary 100%. Joe Manchin voted no on the tax cuts.
This is for paid for by Senate Leadership Fund. That's McConnell of Washington, D.C. You know, I'm a registered Democrat. I don't know why they would send this to me. President Trump says West Virginia should vote no on Joe. And I mean, it's slick cardstock. It won't compost. And it's not even useful for the litter box.
Well, I'm glad that you brought it up, what to do with all these cards, because I was thinking about that just the other day, and I think I've come up. I haven't tried it yet, but I think I'm on the right track. And this would be a boon to, you know, arts and crafts. If you soak those things long enough, tear them up into bits and soak them, you've got the makings of some high-quality paper mache, I would think. And we could make, instead of globes, flat earths, and hand-paint them and sell them and raise money for the horn. Is that a plan, or am I?
the wheels never stop turning, Scott.
No. You should live inside my head. And actually,
well, you know, it's probably better than living in mine. My brain, or some deity, or something, made me sort of, I don't know, what do you call that?
Oh, you had a vision, all right, but it wasn't of sugar plums dancing. My skin crawled when you were talking about that, and it prompts a question.
Your skin crawled. Mine's been marching back and forth since it happened. And what the hell is that toenail doing on my elbow?
You can get a roller for painting walls and slather it, fill your tray up with aloe vera and slather that all over your body. And the skin will continue to crawl. I'm telling you.
At that point, it just zips.
Well, how? It prompts a question. This vision of delight that came to your mind there. How does one distinguish Ted Cruz's face at the moment of?
No! Don't even finish! Don't even finish! You bastard!
I want to, but I just, ooh, God, I did it to myself. I'm sorry, and I apologize to all the Horn family. Let me change the subject. I have a kitty cat update.
Yes.
Which will make you smile. Chirps the cat out of nowhere last night decided to reclaim her place on the love seat, on which there's a pillow, which is her special pillow for catnapping. And I think it's a seasonal thing. I think in the spring and summer, when it's warm, she doesn't like to sleep up high because heat rises, if I remember my science. So she stays down on the floor when she reclines, usually in a little fort made out of, Amazon boxes. But last night she decided to reclaim her spot on the love seat. Unfortunately, in the months when this, the past 6 months when she hasn't been in her usual spot, I will put things there, junk mail, political flyers, all manner of crap. And she went undeterred, crunching and struggling to find a place. And I hurriedly took all that crap off the sofa to free up space on her special pillow. And that's where she is at this moment, curled up in a little kitty cat ball, probably purring and having visions of things, more pleasant things, I'm sure, dancing in her little kitty cat head. But anyway, getting back to turnout in West Virginia, what did you say, 42 or 47?
42.7 is the prediction.
42, geez. How can, higher turnout be accomplished, given the problems in terms of canvassing?
Well, we're talking about West Virginia, okay? So let me make something abundantly clear.
Okay.
You may not want that to happen.
Well, there's that, yeah.
I know that sounds like a really shitty thing to say, but it's fact. Because in this state, people who don't vote, there's no guarantee that they're... I mean, we've had crummy turnout rates, and when we had no voter ID, anything, and I'm not entirely convinced that the people you'd like to have voting, or I'm not convinced that other 51.3% would get it right. I know that's kind of grim, but
No, I get that. But it didn't always used to be that way. Am I mistaken in that? Because it seems to me, in especially in pivotal years, more voters in more places showed up, regardless of how they voted. There was just a spirit of participation that came across the land. I don't know what it is here in California. I think we're over 50% turnout, at least presidential.
Well, California tries to make it easy for people to vote. That's why you've got mail-in voting now.
Well, yeah. Unless you forget and leave your ballot on a bus stop for me to stumble across.
Oh, my God, what you just did. Subject line, damn you, Scott. Jack in Shreveport.
Oh, no.
He's got me wondering now if Cruz ejects a booger every time he,
Oh, no. Ooh.
Yeah, I know.
I don't even. Ooh. Damn me.
Numbers, Lee in New York says, stop telling us the percentages. I know.
Well, I am still optimistic, at least in terms of the House. And I'm, what is today, Monday, and we're almost 2 weeks out. I will peer into my crystal crock pot, and within the next couple of days, I'll put my prediction on my Facebook account for what the final number will be in the House. And I'm usually pretty good at it.
Well, I mean, it's weird. Even there's even pressure on a lunatic like Steve King in Iowa.
Well, yeah, I read that. I read that the other day.
And so he doubles down by endorsing a white supremacist. These people, you know, they spend considerable amounts of money figuring out who their voters are. And in the age of what was gotten out of Cambridge Analytica and the Facebook shenanigans of 2015 and 16, mm-hmm. and continuing into 17 and 18, Steve King knows exactly how many Nazis he has to get to the polls in order to win.
Mm-hmm. And he knows where they live, and he knows how to reach them and motivate them.
I mean,
but then again, so do we.
I mean, you've got a Republican running for re-election in Florida named Carlos Curbelo. Well, it turns out that his former field director and director of constituent services was with the Proud Boys mob in Miami.
Now, which group is that? The Proud Boys?
That's Gavin McInnes, white supremacists, the ones that wear the T-shirts that say Pinochet was right and show a stick figure being thrown out of a helicopter. The slogan "Make Communists Fear Rotary Aircraft Again."
Oh, lovely! Are these the ones who chug milk? The lactose tolerant crowd.
I got no idea.
Well, you've heard about that, haven't you?
Yeah.
There's a group of.
I'm not sure. No, these are the people. These are the people who go and beat the hell out of people, and the NYPD just stands around and watches it happen.
Now, are they the khaki slacks wearing, tiki torch bearing Charlottesville crowd?
Some of them are, yes.
Oh, God.
They've been active in Portland. They had a stomp down in New York City. Gavin McInnes, the bearded little freak who leads them, explained that nobody was arrested because he has friends in the New York PD. And then, of course, there was the event down in Miami, where where Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi was speaking. And that was an angry mob screaming, "Commie, commie, get out of here, commie."
Mm-hmm. I saw that. It was frightening.
Yeah, well, that was proud. That was a Proud Boys mob.
Lovely.
And so in his debate on Sunday night, Carlos Curbelo said that this one particular individual, a cat named Cabrera, quote, "Kevin Cabrera was never a senior aide of mine." Now, let's be clear. He was field director for Curbelo's 2014 campaign, and he was later appointed director of constituent services. So Carlos Curbelo just flat out lied. But here's the best part of that. That riot, that mob, was put together by the chairman of the Miami Republicans in conjunction with the Proud Boys, just like the event in New York was held at the Metropolitan Republican Club, We have got to, Scott, we have got to get past this notion that there is some way of differentiating between neo-Nazis and rock-ribbed members of the Republican Party, because it's a line that has disappeared. It's faded. They've merged. The Venn diagram is just a circle.
Well, answer me this. Is my belief that I've had for some years now still valid? And here it is. Not all Republicans are bigots, but all bigots are Republicans. Is that still operative?
I think that's pretty close.
Okay. And you know the irony, Bob?
Do tell.
If you go back not too far in American history and government, there was a time when Republicans, I mean, if you go way back, the founding of the Republicans was tied in very closely and strongly with the abolitionist movement. And this is way back, okay? So there's that factor. But in more recent years, within my lifetime anyway, the Republican Party was certainly anti-communist, or at least they claimed to be. They were certainly conservative in a moderate, intelligent way. You know, I'm not against conservatives, just per se, if you can find a real conservative these days. But once upon a time, the Republicans, they were anti-communist. They saw Russians, at least the Russian system, as our enemy, or at least our adversary. They believed in the FBI and the work that it did. Not all of the people in the FBI, but they believed in the theory of the FBI, the intent, okay? They believed in a lot of red, white, and blue tried and true principles. I guess principles would be the best word to use. And today we are totally through the looking glass. We've got an elected official in the Oval Office. Notice how I avoid the term president.
Yes. Well done.
Because he doesn't really live up to what one thinks of, regardless of party, when one thinks of a chief executive, a president of these United States, at least in my book. Okay? All right. They have got themselves, a so-called chief executive, or as I call him, the demented circus peanut in chief. Okay? They've got him. He attracts to himself all manner of angry crazies who don't especially like, as a matter of fact, they dislike intentionally, they may even hate people darker than, as you put it, the shade of a brown paper grocery sack, okay? He's done everything, plug your ears for those more sensitive people, he's done everything but 69 with Vladimir Putin.
Well, that's okay. So that just hurt my brain.
I'm sorry. And so on down the line. Okay, you know all of the particulars in this case that I'm making. All right. When did the Republican Party go off the fucking rails? I mean, I've heard people say that Trump, before he's done, will have pretty much put the final nail in the coffin of the Republican Party, at least how it's currently constituted and comprised. And I don't know if I believe that or not, but I can argue it either way, okay? I can't be making this up. I mean, I'm a fairly bright person. I pay attention to stuff. I read. I've followed things for many, many years. What am I missing? I mean, how did we come to this sad and sorry state?
without coming across as a dick, Scott, I'm not. I think it's interesting to study how we got here, so as to perhaps in the future, if we can ever get away from it, never come back again. But it is more important to me to note not how we got here, but that we are here.
Oh yeah, I grant you, we are here, and we're. I would like for us to find a way out as a nation, and as a system. But it doesn't look readily apparent that that's in our immediate future. I mean, regardless of the outcome of the midterms in November, we'll take a step, maybe a baby step in the right direction, hopefully. And God help us, or somebody help us, if for some reason we don't even take that baby step. I mean, I'm in dead earnest here when I say this. I am frightened. And I don't scare easily. I've been married twice and went through a brain tumor removal surgery. So I don't scare particularly easy. But the prospect of us not even taking that much-needed baby step in a better direction, in a manner of a course correction, that scares the fluorescent piss out of me, Bob. And I'm as sincere as I can possibly be when I say that. I don't know what is going to happen if we don't. Take this opportunity and every future opportunity from now until they put me in the ground. We have got to show up in a manner that's consistent with saying enough. And I don't mean to get on my soapbox, but come on, people. Jesus.
Well, Steve in Georgistan has a question. He says, the latest Wall Street Journal NBC poll says that the blue wave may not come to pass and the House could be a lot closer than originally anticipated. Do you think they're doing that because they have a financial interest in it being a horse race, or do you think there's something else behind that? I'd like your take on it, and Scott's too.
Well, do you want mine first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go first. My take on it is a little of each. The media, and if we don't know this from 2016, we'll never know it. The media, by and large, counts on it being a fractious or a horse race or a thing fraught with great fractiousness. Okay? They count on that because that's what gets eyeballs, you know, and channels clicked. And people sitting there just hour after hour trying to take it all in. So there's that part of it. I would say there is a fairly high percentage of the GOP, Titan, sphincter, and all, whistling past the graveyard here. Because, and it bears repeating yet again, that noted political philosopher Red Fox once said, if you can read the handwriting on the wall, you're in the toilet. And I think in a lot of districts, House districts, the Republicans know that their guy or their woman's chances are in the toilet. Because let's face it, there are places where things will never change in my lifetime, but there are also places where they can't help but change because people in those places are smart enough to see they know what the deal is. And they know that you have, sooner or later, it's like with raising a child, sooner or later you've got to put your foot down. And that's what people do when they vote, when they're voting intelligently and responsibly and like they have a stake in the outcome, have a stake in a positive, workable outcome. That's part of what the mechanism of voting is there to be. Okay, so yeah, part of it's the media bullshit. Part of it, I think, is GOP whistling past the graveyard because a lot of those guys ain't coming back come January 3rd or whatever it is when they seat the new House members. You know, And what was the third option? There was another option.
Financial interest. No, doing because they have a financial interest in being a horse race. Is it actually closer than anticipated, or is there something else?
Well, in the House, and that's all I can speak of reliably here, we need, what, 23 for the Democrats to regain control?
Yep.
All right. I predict, I'll give this much of a prediction, I predict that California will take, Democrats in California in the House races will take back a minimum of 6 seats from Republicans. A minimum of 6 seats. So you can put that down and mark it in red. Okay. And I think of these places around the fringes of major metropolitan areas where there's currently a Republican House member in the burbs. Some of them are on very shaky ground. Well, so there's another.
And Megan just pointed something out. She said, anyone else thinking all the close race talk is about fear? I listen to them talk, and all I can detect are tones of people who are trying to reassure that there's that things that work out the way they want them to. That's why I don't listen to the polls in this close to the election. Don't pay attention. Just get out and vote.
Well, that's a good way to go. But does she think in terms of the fear coming from the current GOP House members in some of these places, or is it fear?
Well,
on
no,
the part
I,
of
I think I think one. I think playing to it's going to be a look. You did radio. You did remotes. It didn't matter if you were at Smiley's Car Wash on the corner of South and Main, or at the grand opening of Doorknobs R Us.
Yeah.
when they tossed it to you from the studio, you said, "Well, Bill, there's sure a lot going on down here."
Oh, yeah. The music is great. The crowd is great. The hot dogs are great. The lemonade is great.
And
you ought to be here. If you're not here, you're missing something.
You need to come on by.
Yes.
Okay. So some of that is mixed into the political analysis. I have no stud. I mean, I've gotten to the point where I hear the horse race stories on the for-profit media. I don't hear it anymore. It's the same with the Muzak and the Wiggling Pig.
Yeah.
It's just background noise. But the thing is, pitching the close race is a way to maintain viewer engagement.
Yeah, there's urgency involved.
And also, if anybody has a particular agenda, pitching the close race is a way to obliquely encourage voter participation.
Yeah.
Now,
so
I don't,
cuts both ways.
It certainly does. It cuts one way on Fox, and depending on who's on the other, and depending on whose show it is, another way, say, on MSNBC. Or CNN, it inures to the benefit of the broadcaster to have it be close because they can pitch it, you know, you can trust us, we're going to give you the straight skinny, yada yada yada.
Yeah.
MSNBC has a promo running right now. And it's Vote for the Future. And I find it kind of intriguing, Scott.
Is this MSNBC?
MSNBC.
Yeah, because I don't have them anymore.
I bet you people, other members of the community have seen it. And it is a video montage. And at one point, the voiceover says, "We'll vote for people we know." And of all the people they could have chosen for video to go with that line, "We'll vote for people we know," they chose Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America. And the first time I saw that, that just went, it just tripped something in my brain, and it was like a fingernail on a chalkboard. And said, wow, you really want to turn people off with this, huh, don't you? And then they say, and people we don't. And they show video, silent video of Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez.
Now, the voiceover, as they were doing this on the promo, was that the announcer voice, or was that a segment of something a voter was saying?
No, that's the female VO. The voiceover for the promo, it's a promo. Yeah. We'll vote for people we know and people we don't. And then
I would like to see that, because I'm pretty good at dissecting those
things.
Well,
wait, it gets better. Or worse. We'll vote for things that matter, and there's some, and then, and things that are, what is the language? But the video they use with it is of the Tiki Torch Nazi March in Charlottesville.
Mm.
And just the messaging part of me, branding, marketing, whatever.
Is there just a slug line in the course of the program?
Well, it's all pitching their horse race coverage.
Oh.
Let me see if I can find it here.
Yeah, I was looking too.
Oh, that's not going to work. Try something else. Because I've been meaning to mention it, and it just...
Let me just put MSNBC promo, that usually...
There it is. The vote, America's future. Here.
One day in America, we vote for folks we know and folks we don't.
So that's Lion Ted Cruz and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Mm-hmm.
Why did they choose Cruz?
For this grand idea. And whatever happens, we'll be here to make sense of it. The Vote for America's Future on MSNBC.
Well, oddly enough, that one did not contain the footage of the Charlottesville rally. And that's the part that really grates.
Okay, the one I just found is 44 seconds long.
Yeah, it's the same one I just played.
Okay.
So, I don't know. People can check that out.
Another one right underneath that, The Vote, America's Future, but it's tailored to a cross-promoing Chris Hayes show All In.
Yeah, no. I don't know why that's not up there, but they use, and the language that goes with it is particularly some. I know other people have seen it. Somebody will write in, and actually, somebody right now has found it, and they're typing out the script or something. But Scott, I need to roll on so we can take maybe get a couple more calls in.
Okay, I was going to say that. One more thing, real quick. I would be interested in seeing that, as many versions of it as there are, because you can get a sense of what they're selling, or what they're positioning is by, like you say, dissecting the thing. And if it's in several different versions, there's going to be a theme, a thread that runs through all of them, you know, their core message, their core positioning statement. And I'd be interested in seeing. So I hope somebody will send links, you know, to watch as many of those as possible, because that's.
Yeah. And if somebody can actually find the one with the Charlottesville footage in it, maybe put it up on the Horn Facebook page.
All right, Bob. Well, listen, you take care and keep up the good work and keep your sunny side up. It's we're going to make it one way or another.
That's me, Bob Kincaid, Little Ray of Sunshine. You know it.
I know it. I'll see you.
Later, Scott. Bye. Lee with a note. What Democrats have to remember is no one gets elected to office by a poll. Vote. All caps, bold. Vote. And, you know, as far as Steve's question is concerned, I admit I'm a cynic. I think there's money in the horse race. But I also think that maybe some of the smarter folks are beginning to remember that every one of those House districts is in red states has had the living hell gerrymandered out of it. Let's check in. Hey, welcome to the program on the stress line. Oh, wait a minute. Hang on. Stand by. I don't know why it dropped the Bluetooth, but it did. Won't take but a sec. All right. You there, Todd?
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm okay. Well, sort of okay. How about you?
Happy anniversary.
Well, thank you. That's 2 days from now, but getting close.
Oh, well, okay. I totally, oh my God. All right, I'm way off base. Okay, I don't know why I was.
Well, saying. No, I appreciate it in its advanced, in its early form.
Okay, can you hear me better now?
Yeah, much.
Yeah, that was. Anyway, I'm not going to get into that. So, yeah, it's, you know how these phones are. So, Scott, and, you know, you guys touched on something that I've been thinking about, that probably all of us. Have you noticed that for the past, let's say, 20 years maybe, in the national elections, we've been having these really close elections, like 7 points, right? And, you know.
Well, but remember, Barack Obama's elections weren't close.
See,
they were ass whippings.
I remember in October. As a matter of fact, wait a minute. It was right around this. Oh, my God. It was right around this time, right before Halloween when I called you. I was like, Bob, I'm nervous. I said, the Philly suburbs are slipping.
Yep.
I said. And I was like, it is a microcosm of America. And I was like, I'm not at home. And all my friends, like, you know, like the 4th of July before that, everybody was like, yeah, Hillary's going to win. I was like, I don't know, man. I don't know. And, I mean, these are people from Atlanta and New York and California. I mean, people, you know, college people, you know, my friends from all over the place. And they were like, no, Hillary's winning. I'm like, no, I don't know about that. You know, I'm like, you know. I don't know, but that's not why I called. The reason I called, I'm concerned about this handicap. This shit, I think that we have to be at least 12 points ahead to be even.
See, that's kind of where I am.
See, I'm not, that's why I want.
That's why I've consistently said, Todd, that if you want a blue wave, it's going to have to be a blue wave that comes with a turnout the likes of which has never been seen before.
That's what I'm talking about. Man, listen, I spent 10 years designing surveys, doing survey research, doing stat. And the intangibles, this is what I love. I love, you know, Nate Silver and his outfit. They do, you know, a lot of people do great jobs. But it's the intangibles. It's these things that, in other words, when you run stats, you run it different ways. There's always that little gap, that gray area where you can't, like, well, we don't know. That's where you got to put the meat in. See, that's where the human part comes in.
Yeah.
You see, it's harder. This is the real shit, though. And I know this from living in the city and living here and living in suburbs, right? And living down here is like living in the suburbs. You breathe in, you breathe out. It's easy. Easy and fun to vote. You got coffee and donuts, and you see your friends, and it's fun. We live in the city. What? Yeah, it's got to wait hours in line. Hours. You got to make sure you don't drink too much water or whatever you're drinking because you're going to have to pee. You know, you never know how long the line's going to be. Think about all those single mothers. It's like, wow. Do you know, for every 10 minutes, like, that's $10 if you're late. After 6 o'clock, you got to pick your kids up. You know, how many people are going to endure this? Right? Then you do the early voting thing. And, you know, a lot of places, that just doesn't count. I don't give a fuck what people say. Most places, if you're not out on the West Coast where they've been doing that for a while, fuck a provisional ballot. Fuck early voting. Fuck all that bullshit. You got to go to the poll and physically vote.
Well, I mean, I'm old school. I like to go and vote. And,
right.
And if the predictions for my state are true, I'll be in and out of there in under 10 minutes.
See?
I'm a white man in a mostly white state. Now I'm going to now this is the first year that they get to ask me for my ID. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to give them a piece of my mind when they do.
Good, you should. Say, you know, I really don't have to show you any ID. I do that shit too. And I'm sorry, I'm not trying to step on you, man, but people need to hear this shit. This is real doo-doo.
Because this will be the same people that I've been looking at for the past 20 years who know to expect my white ass at the polls on election day because I don't miss them. I mean, maybe I missed a June referendum for I even went to that one, the school levy. You know, no, I show up.
Mm-hmm.
And the first person that looks at me and says, "Can I see your ID?" I'm going to say, "This is an outrage. And it's insulting."
And they bob, and they know why you're asking them that, too. That's the thing. They know why. And then they give you that look, don't they?
Yeah, well, or they won't ask me, and I'll know damn good and well that if my skin was a different color, I would get asked. Because we got a Republican Secretary of State, a Republican Governor, a Republican House, a Republican Senate, and no Supreme Court to speak of now.
Mm-hmm.
And
please don't bring that up. Please don't bring that up.
Well, I mean, it is what it is. The minority population of West Virginia is not anything near the percentage you would expect to see in another southern state or almost any other state. I mean, we are one of the whitest states in the country, old and white.
The only black folk I ever saw there was in Charleston in the airport. And that was it.
Well, you know, there's a reason black folks don't live in isolated homes out in the country in West Virginia.
Oh, shit.
That, you know, a little State Farm lightning goes a long way.
Well, you don't have to convince me. Like I said, I've been there many times, and I got the lay of the land. And I mean, like, boy, when I would go to the main library, the big city library in Charleston, sometimes when I'm to do some research, it was like everybody, like anybody who was dealing with academia,
it was a library, it was a library, and a black guy walks through the door in the library in Charleston, and the library, if it's even possible, gets quieter.
After three visits or so over a number of years, they knew who I was, and they were very nice. But that's the South, you know, once people get to know you, you know. But this business about the polls and I'm so glad. This is really when I heard you and Scott talking tonight, you know, and Scott's microphone is sounding great, by the way. Whatever he's using, it's sounding really good. But this business with these close elections, see, this is where they get us. And we've talked about this before, but it's very important. And folks who have not lived different places don't understand. I mean, you really have to be committed to.
Yeah, and I mean, you want to talk about creepy, Todd? Steve in Georgia Stan just said, in Georgia, they make us take our license out, and then they scan the back of the license barcode into the machine. Jesus. You still there, Todd? Oh, hold on. It dropped the Bluetooth again. Hang on. I'm just tech nightmares from hell this evening. Stand by, Todd. Okay, you're back, I think. Okay, yeah, good. You are.
You sound great.
Yeah, but the barcode on the back of my license creeps the shit out of me. Every time that thing gets scanned, I wonder how many different databases I'm going into.
Well, I don't know if you've ever been detained or arrested or whatever, but when you're black, the first thing they do, no matter what, you could be calling the cops and they ask you for your ID, and then they go back to the car and they swipe it like a credit card. And so, you know, there's all types of information. And now we got to get the smart ID. If you want to leave the country or do anything else, you know, there's a window of opportunity to get this smart ID, which I think even the ones that we have now, the licenses that we have now, have RFID tags in them, which is something like when you buy a CD, you know, that little, not little, but it looks like a blown up circuit, like a blown up transistor, kind of, it's a foil thing. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. But anyway, when you walk through certain, okay, so when you walk through a doorway, that's how they track you. They can track you with that. I'm not being conspiracy. This is the fact. This is why they want everyone to update to the smart ID. Because it will, like, when you go through certain portals, certain doorways, you know, it triggers it. So, just like in your cell phone, but it's a little bit different because it doesn't have a battery in it. But it will activate. But I really don't, that's not what I'm calling. But I just brought it up with the barcode thing. So, you know, something is wrong where we should be stopped. You look around, you look at these, like, I'm being honest with you. I love to watch news. Now, Al Jazeera, DW, and I know about Al Jazeera. I know who funds them, but guess what? They had the best equipment in the world. Their sets, their other equipment. And they put people on the ground. In Gaza, you see the real news. I mean, it's not what a lot of people might think. Al Jazeera is pretty damn good.
Yeah, they are. They do respectable journalism. And then, of course, you want to talk about voting. Ron in Raleigh reminds me, check out Dodge City, Kansas. Population 27,000. It is a majority Latino population. And they just moved the one polling place for 27,000 people a mile outside the city limits where no public transportation runs.
Okay. I didn't believe that when I heard that a couple days ago.
No, it's the truth. And, you know, credit where credit's due, Lyft stepped up and said, all right, we're giving free rides to anybody who needs a ride to the polls.
Okay. So do we have to reiterate what happened when our Supreme Court struck down the need to reinvigorate the Voter Rights Act? And these folks couldn't wait. These people couldn't wait to restrict voting.
Oh, they were off like a prom dress the minute that ruling came out. What was it? The Shelby County case out of Alabama.
Exactly. So this is what I'm saying. It's like we have to be 10 to 12 points ahead in the quote-unquote polls. And when I say polls, I mean an aggregate poll. You know, that's the only way to really look at it, lump everybody together and do the average. Because these polls are different, you got to look at the sample size and all. You know, everybody's not a good pollster. But you see, they get us at every turn. I mean, these people have become surgical with this. You know,
where Ron lives in North Carolina, I think that was the term that was used by the court when it struck down their voting scheme, their voter suppression scheme. They said it was done with almost surgical racial precision.
Well, let me ask you a question. How was that documented? I mean, that is a Supreme Court a state Supreme Court. So is that precedent now? How is that documented?
It's a case where the North Carolina case, you know, these are all case by case. They don't have national implications.
Mm-hmm.
So like what the Supreme Court did last week to the,
wait a minute. I disagree. How can they not wait a minute. No. If the United States Supreme Court had to look on precedent, don't they have to look down to state decisions to form their decision?
Well, no, they can look at, say, you know, they can look at, say, North Carolina and say, you can't do it like they did it. But everything gets looked at on an ad hoc basis. I mean, and I was about to cite what happened in North Dakota because it's so egregious. A federal district court struck down a scheme that said you had to have an ID with a formal street address on it in order to vote, and that got stricken down before the primary, and then it got brought back up after the primary. And one of the first things that Brett Kavanaugh participated in was the decision not to hear the appeal from that ruling being overturned. So one of the first things that Brett Kavanaugh did was to try to make sure that a few thousand Native Americans out on the reservation could not vote.
Is that the decision that said that they have to have an actual street address as opposed to a post office box?
Right, right.
Okay, this is what I do not understand about this case. The way it has been presented to me, what is that? They changed the rules mid-voting cycle, which means, they were allowed to use that ID for the primary.
Right, because there was a stay imposed upon the legislation. The stay was lifted.
Oh, that's how they got around it.
And then then the litigation proceeded, and the appeals court said no. So the Indians who wanted to vote lost. So the Indians who wanted to vote then appealed to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, no, we don't want to hear your ass. Fuck you.
The law is the law, but common sense is common sense. If you live in this on this continent, in this country, and you get a fucking check and you live on a reservation, you should be able to vote. They know where you fucking live. They send you a fucking check.
Right.
But, I'm just saying it's common sense.
But just to give you an idea, I saw a sort of a flow chart this weekend. That some tribal officials had put together in an effort to make voting possible.
Okay.
Let me see if I can find it.
What? Of all people that have...
Okay, voting at Standing Rock, North Dakota. Start here. Do you have a tribal ID or driver's ID you can bring with you? Yes.
Does it have a big-ass arrow?
Yes. Flowchart, yes. Does your ID list your name, physical address, not P.O. box, and date of birth? No. Is the missing detail listed on any of the following? If so, bring that with you, too. Paycheck, utility bill, bank statement, letter from the tribe, other government document. You ain't got one of those? Join a community feed where we'll print you a letter from the tribe to list your details. We'll assign a physical address if you don't have one. Monday, October 29th, 5 p.m. in Porcupine. Thursday, November 1st, 5 p.m. in Cannonball Gym. Monday, November 5th, 5 p.m., A.J. Agard, Fort Yates, or call and gives a number. And yeah, so, and then vote. Here's how you can vote if you are Standing Rock Sioux in North Dakota. From 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., you can vote in Cannonball at the district gym, in Fort Yates at the county courthouse, and in Selfridge at the high school. On the other hand, you can vote from noon to 7 p.m. in Solon at the firehouse or in Porcupine at the community center.
Number of questions here. Are any of those sites in or on the reservation? Because these places are very isolated.
I'm pretty sure they are, at least a couple of them. Cannonball.
Even if they are, I mean, like I have family members who've been to, like, out in Arizona, like Snowflake. Way, it's like one or two roads, it's like 200 miles.
Oh no, there are some places where they've closed down enough polling places, such that people who live on the reservation have a 200-mile round trip to go vote. That ain't no boating accident.
Okay. This is not quite a tangent, but I heard very few people mention the fact that our new Supreme Court justice, first of all, his mentor, you know, was Scalia.
But well, then, and his other mentor was the pervert Alex Kaczynski.
Well, there's that. Isn't that interesting? And I'm gonna tell you something. I hope these women, and I really
breathe.
Get me on the tangents, man. Why do you do this shit to me, man? Fucking aggravating my personality, man. Damn.
Breathe.
So first,
yes.
I know, Tracy. Thank you, Tracy. Okay. So these women need to stay protesting in front of the Supreme Court because how can that many women be saying that shit about one person? That's bullshit. I'm sorry. He did something to somebody. Come on. There's just too many women.
Well, I tend to agree.
You know, let's just get that out there. So I say keep the pressure on because, yeah, something's wrong. And his wife looks like she knows something. She knows his wife is emotionally abused. I can look at her face, and he's a bad. Like they said, he's probably beat her a couple of times, man. I can look in her face. I see it. It's so sad. I see it. I really do. Well, yeah, I got off on that tangent.
Yeah, I know, and you know, I don't think 30 years from now, Christine Blasey Ford is gonna say, "Well, I made the whole thing up." You know, the way the woman did who got Emmett Till killed.
No. Are you kidding?
Just saying.
No, like I said before, that woman, are you kidding, man? That woman does research. Now, there's one way to look at it. Now, she does do research on trauma, which, you know, maybe for a personal reason. People do that. But, you know, when you're a researcher, you're working on grant money. You know, you don't want to make waves. And you're a principal investigator, and you're trying to get grant money. You know, it's just, it doesn't, and I don't know if she's got tenure. I don't know anything about that. I don't know. And they haven't reported it because I'm kind of familiar with how, you know, all the political stuff that goes on in universities. But my point is that she would not have put herself out there like that. And I really don't think. Plus the fact, it's not even... It's the last thing I want to say about it. That's all it took was the mere allegation because it's not a trial. This judge is supposed to be beyond reproach. So he's already failed the test.
Yeah,
every test.
The appearance of impropriety. His entire hearing was an appearance of impropriety. But that shit doesn't matter anymore, I guess. It's hey, Todd, we got to get out of here, buddy, because done ran over.
I didn't know.
No worries, my friend.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry, man.
That's okay.
Okay. Happy anniversary.
Well, thanks. We'll talk soon, man. Later.
All right.
That's our buddy Todd calling from South Carolina, Stan. So we'll close the program. Listen, there is $75 remaining on a $100 challenge. I want us to get to fundraising free radio, but we got to wipe out a little bit more. So maybe if you haven't kicked in a while, help us knock down that last $75 and maybe even beyond that, the next 95 after that. But $75 to meet Chris's challenge. When we leave challenges on the table, it makes things that much harder the next day. So, you know, please. And we will wrap things up this evening. Thanks, thanks very kindly to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And thanks to all of you who do keep the program going, and thanks to all of you who share in your precious finite time to engage with the program. Thank you very much, one and all. And always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.